You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to the My Senior Horse Podcast. This is where people who own, manage, and love senior horses, ponies, donkeys, and mules can come together to share our passion and to learn more about caring for our senior equids. Our guest today is Brian Castle, talking about tips for winter senior horse care. Brian has a master's in nutrition and an MBA, and he is the commercial and formulations manager for Mars Horse Care and Buckeye Nutrition. I'm your host, Kim Brown, and editor of My Senior Horse. We launched the global My Senior Horse brand in partnership with Linda Mars and Mars Horse Care in mid-2024. We offer many ways to get information on older equids, including this bi-weekly podcast, articles on the MySeniorHorse.com website, videos, and a lot more. Thank you for joining us today, Brian.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's good to join you.
Well, I'm going to jump right in. So what do you think are the most important things for owners of senior horses to think about for winter care?
I think the most important part is to get prepared, right? So those horses that are coming into winter, especially those senior horses that come into winter with a marginal body condition score, right? Those fours and fives, you'd really want to try to get them up into that six range and have some fat covering coming into winter and be prepared for when it gets harsh conditions of like right now. For those senior horses, it does get more difficult because we'll talk about those horses that are underweight and you're trying to drive more calories into them, usually through fat, trying to drive more calories into those horses to try to put some body condition on. But when it gets to extreme temperatures, it's difficult, right? It's difficult to catch back up. So there's nothing that beats good preparation. And I feel like as I'm talking about senior horses, I'm also talking the same thing when we think about, you know, some mares that are coming in as well about, you know, what do you do during gestation? Well, you try to stay ahead, right? And you try to stay ahead of body condition. And when you know there's going to be high demands on those horses and they're going to mobilize a lot of energy to try to stay ahead of that calorie requirement. And you do the same thing with senior horses, right? You want that kind of higher body condition score heading into winter and give some type of buffer for those horses. Because you're going to treat them the same way.
Yeah, and a lot of us, like here, my daughter and I have 11 and a half. We have a broodmare. We have everything. Mules, minis, you know, horses, donkeys. You know, we have a little bit of everything. Seniors, we have several seniors. And we weaned the mares, colt, and last fall. And as we were going into winter, we noticed that one of the seniors wasn't doing as well. We had weaned the colt off with a mare that he had been friendly with. So, you know, he had a buddy and they're within sight of the rest of the herd. But then we noticed one of the seniors. So we ended up putting him in with the colt as well as the mare that, because she was a little bit of a hard doer. Mm-hmm. And this senior gelding has, you know, he can have a little more hay and so can the weanling and so can the mare that wasn't. Weight, gain or loss. I mean, how do we watch that and what do we do about it if we notice somebody like my poor gelding wasn't, you know, he's kind of low on the pecking order and just he's old and has PPID and is being treated for it. So, you know, he's got a lot of things going on. So what do we do?
And that's the right way to group them up. You know, and I think that answers a question a lot of people have right there. It's like, so if I have, you know, more than just a few and I need to group them up and feed them because we only have so much time, how do you want to do it? And that's exactly the way to do that, right? Kind of group them up by the energy needs and then feed them accordingly.
You know, whether it's weight gain or weight loss, what's our observations and what can we do about it? Everybody wants to throw feed at them, but that's not what, you know, throwing the concentrate.
Yeah, it's not always the right thing. Yeah, and the best thing is to monitor them, right? Talk about being prepared and how you're going to monitor them. And you know, Dr. Henneke, you know, was one that put together the body condition score scale that we still use today. And the great thing about that is it gets you to put your hands on them, right? So you know, feel across the tab, not just use your eyes, but use your hands and feel across the rib cage, you know, feel behind their shoulder, feel on the tail head, feel that fat covering and see where it's at. And then monitor that as your winter goes. And then you'll feel that fat going away, right? If they start dropping condition. Another easy way to do it is just use a weight tape. And the nice thing, a couple things about a weight tape, right? Everybody always complains, well, that weight tape's never accurate. And it is 100% not accurate, right? That's when we understand that. And that's okay, because what you want to know is change, right? And and the weight tape will tell you change, right? So it'll tell you if you're increasing or decreasing weight. And that's the big thing that you want to know. Am I feeding enough calories to maintain body condition on this horse? And that weight tape's going to tell you that. So it's a nice objective way, right? Because the body condition score can become some subjective, right? You might feel a little more fat here, a little fat there, and start questioning yourself. But if you use a weight tape in a good, consistent manner across the same place in the withers, it'll tell you change. And that's what you're monitoring during the winter. And you know, not all of us have an access to a scale or something like that, but a good, cheap little weight tape will tell you a lot.
Well, and you have said to me before, forage first, Kim. You know, mm-hmm. try and use your forage to the best of its ability and then fill in what you need with concentrates mm-hmm. and supplements. So let's talk forage for just a second. I mean, I love forage. I'm in a part of the world where we grow some of the best alfalfa, which is a wonderful feed for horses, but it's not great for all horses because it's pretty high in protein.
It is. It is. And you're fortunate to live there, right? Where you do have really high quality alfalfa, and you can take some pressure off your concentrate that way by providing enough protein, enough energy through your forage source. And that's the place to build your house, right? That's your foundation will be your forage. And ideally, you'd start with a high quality forage, whether that be a good alfalfa or a good mix, and then adjust your concentrate accordingly. So the higher the quality of the forage, then less pressure you're putting in your concentrate, and you can go down to where you're feeding less of your concentrate that you normally do, or feed a ration balancer where you don't have to feed much calories and you're just balancing that out. Right? So, and that's a really safe way to feed, right? So I think the riskiest thing we do for horses, right, is we feed them a bunch of concentrate. So the best way we can reduce that risk is by feeding a better quality forage and reduce the amount of concentrate we feed. So that's the great thing about feeding a high quality forage like you're doing, Kim, and then feeding a ration balancer to 1 to 2 pounds per day, right? That's a whole lot less risk than feeding a poor quality hay and feeding a concentrate at 8 to 10, 12 pounds per day, right? So,
and explain a ration balancer just quickly for those who may not be quite as familiar. A lot of us know about, we'll have the cups of this and the spoons of that, but
that's right.
Ration balancer, yeah. I love them.
So yeah, that's right. So the nice thing about the ration balancer is for those horses that either A, don't need extra calories, right? So those ones that are in good body condition score or not performing at a level that's going to require a lot of calories, and the ration balancer will provide appropriate amount of proteins, vitamins, and minerals to balance out the rest of their diet without providing a great deal of calories into their diet. And it's also really good for those ones that are on a good forage, right? Whether that be a nice alfalfa mix or even a good grass hay. Because there's a lot of good grass hays out there that's going to test, okay. 13, 14, 15% protein too, if it's grown in the right place and have a really nice nutrient profile. And then you're not going to need a whole lot of pressure on your concentrate. So those ones that are going to be able to be fed that 1 to 2 pounds there as well. And those ones that you talked about too, Kim, that might be metabolically compromised, right? So those ones that you don't want to provide a bunch of starch and sugar, the ration balance is a great option for them, right? So you're feeding small meals to start with, then you can break those small meals out to even more meals per day and really decrease that insulin response.
Well, and that kind of gets me into the feed changes. I mean, we were talking about, a lot of people have had winter already. Some are getting ready to come into winter. Some have, the weather this year has just been crazy across the country. But when you have feed changes, when you have weather coming in or something else is going on, pastures going down, how do you make those changes so that you're not going to upset the GI tract?
Yeah. And that's tough, right? Because if you have enough forage, right? So if you have enough stored hay, then you can increase your forage to try to get ahead of those calorie pieces first, right? So that's always the first thing I would do is if I have like now we went from, so we've dropped 3 degrees in about 30 hours, right? So
30 degrees, wow.
We went from 45 to 12. So we're in this spot, right? So the first thing I want to try to do is maximize that forage intake, right? So if I was feeding, I'm trying to think what we're feeding our old guy right now, we're feeding about 15, 18 pounds of hay to him. The first thing I want to do is try to max it out and see if I can get to a 20, 24 pounds on him per day. And he's going to tell me when he's full, Right. He's going to tell me when he starts leaving it behind, he's going to tell me when it's full. I know it's frustrating for horse owners to see hay on the ground, but a lot of times it tells you that you're doing the right thing. So I'll see if I can maximize that first, and then I'll look at my concentrate and then slowly move that up. And I'd like to have enough time to maybe move that up over 7 to 10 days, right? If I'm feeding 4 to 6 pounds and I think I need to go to 6 to 8, I'm going to slowly step that up per feeding and get there and not just throw an extra 2 pounds at him a day.
So why is it that forage is so important to horses in the winter?
Well, a couple of things with that is, one, we're always trying to stabilize the hindgut, right? We're always feeding those biotics in the hindgut, and we're always trying to stabilize that microbiome because we know it's important. Every year in research, we learn that it's even more important, and we still don't fully grasp how important it is, right? So we're kind of stuck in this place where the more research we do, the more we realize how important it is, but yet it seems like we're still kind of in the dark ages of looking at it. But we do know that stabilizing the hindgut's important and keeping that microbiome happy is vital. The other thing is all that forage is going to help retain water. So they're going to eat all that forage, they're going to drink a lot of water, they're going to stay hydrated and keep that gut happy and healthy. I always think that we always battle choke at times, right? I think especially in these older senior horses. And I think we battle it twice a year. We battle it in the summer, late summer, when everything gets really dry and kind of burns up and your forage gets really dry and the grass kind of goes away, right? And then also when that happens, water evaporates faster. So if they're drinking out of a water tank or they're drinking out of water bucket in the stall, sudden water goes away faster, right? So they just don't have enough water access to them. And then the other time we battle it is right now, is when it goes from 45 to 12 and everything froze, right? So water buckets froze, water troughs froze, and now all of a sudden, when that horse is usually having this water intake in front of them, it's just not there. And it really impacts how they can chew and swallow, and especially in those, you know, older guys that are pretty compromised when it comes to dental health.
Mars Equestrian, a sponsorship division of Mars Incorporated, is dedicated to highlighting the Mars brands, such as Buckeye Nutrition, Spillers, Antec Diagnostics, Sound Imaging, Royal Canin, Pedigree, Nutro, and many more in the equestrian world. Whether it's through nutrition, veterinary care, or education, our purpose is to create a better world for horses, pets, and the people who love them.
That's so important in the winter to get them to drink the water. But I mean, as you mentioned, when a lot of times, you know, when the temperature is dropping, you're trying to increase the feed because they're hindgut fermenters. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean to helping them in the winter?
I always think about trying to do less harm, right? Because the first thing that we want to do is increase our concentrate in those situations, right? And when we do that, we're just going to throw more starch at the hindgut and select against bacteria that is positive for fiber, right? So we don't want to do that, right? So we want to increase our fiber first and maximize that out and help increase those bacteria that are going to be fiber fermenters, like you talk about, and produce those volatile fatty acids, get energy from that as opposed to just sending starch to the hindgut. Because that's the dangerous part. When I talk about the riskiest thing we can do, right, is to feed those horses 8, 10, 12 pounds of a concentrate, because that small intestine's not going to be able to handle that. And all that starch and sugar is going to bypass that small intestine, get to the hindgut, be rapidly ferment, and then we know the cascade of events that lead to laminitis from there, right? And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to reduce that laminitis risk and that colic risk with everything that we do feeding-wise. And the safest way that we can do that is increase our forage and decrease that amount of concentrate that you're feeding and decrease that chance that that's going to be bypassed to that hindgut and then get to that cecum, and then we're really up against it in a mess.
And for our audience, we're not saying concentrates are bad. My senior horse I was talking about that has PPID, you know, he has challenges keeping weight on. Mm-hmm. And he gets a low starch concentrate every day. And, you know, that helps him maintain his body condition score.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, we talk a lot about, and I say we, when I would say we, I mean, I'd like the industry, right? We talk a lot about sugar and starch in horses and the negative impacts that it can have. And because we're well aware of it, right? We're aware of the kind of catastrophic events that can happen because of that. At the same time, these horses need energy, right? And there's times we villainize sugar and starch too much. But we need that energy of that horse so we can maintain body condition, right? We can't starve him out of fear, right? So So we want to do things in a very, very safe manner. And so those horses that do need, if you do have a senior horse and you are maxing out their forage intake and you have the best quality forage that you can have, right? There's a practical piece to that, right? We'd all like to have high quality forage. Some years you have good growing conditions, some years you don't. And some years you have good access to it, and some years you don't. And so you have to kind of work around what you have. But those ones that could need 8 to 10 pounds of concentrate a day to manage their weight, and the safest way to do that then is just to break up their meals some, right? So break up their meal size and feed 3 times a day and get those meals in a smaller package, so you get less risk of that going to the hindgut. And so you can pull a couple strings there, right? So you can pull it through diet, like you said, you're feeding a lower sugar starch, higher fat kind of diet and provide calories through fat, which is a very safe way of doing it. If you don't have access to that kind of feed, then you can feed a concentrate that could be more sugar starch heavy, but now you're going to manage it through how you feed it, right? So I'm going to feed hay first. I'm going to break it up into smaller meals. I'm going to battle it through management, not just through my feed selection process.
And I've got a tip. I moved from Kentucky to Wyoming, and you know, there's every region has different ways to feed. And when you have a herd of horses out here, you don't usually put them in stalls. So we use a lot of nose bags, and mm-hmm. I have discovered that is a great way to give one horse something they need without worrying somebody's going to run them off of it, or they're not going to get a chance to finish it. So I really like nose bags, but you gotta manage them too, because you don't want them dunking them in the water trough and that's everything soggy.
You always end up with a couple of mares that figure that out. They put them on and go right to the water. Yeah, that's
yeah. Make your own mash. Yeah.
But it's a great way to manage horses, because if you have them in a big paddock and you need to feed them individually and you don't have access to a barn or the barn's far away, it's a nice way of doing it. And, you know, we've used them on research trials in the past too. And I really like it. I think one of the things that it does is it does keep some behavior issues down as well. So those ones that are lower on the pecking order, right, they'll wait their turn and then come up and get their nose bag on. And then once their nose bag's on, then they'll turn around and walk away and get to a safe spot, right? So it keeps that kind of kicking around buckets and kicking around feeders to a minimum.
Yeah, and the more dominant horses learn, I can't get that feed bag off and get to that feed, so they just go back to the hay, you know? So,
right. Yeah, it stops a lot of that bullying.
I love your tip, feed the hay first. That's every horse owner needs to remember that tip if they don't get anything else.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, on the performance side, right, doesn't necessarily fit our timing or our schedule or, right? But at the same time, we battle so many gastric issues, right? And we battle gastric issues largely because we're dealing with an empty stomach that's full of acid. And if we can feed those horses forage first, right, and get that mat of forage across the top of that stomach and decrease that acid splashing, it really stops a lot of problems before it starts.
And one other thing that you and I have mentioned, but Brian and I have talked a lot in the past, but one thing you and I have mentioned, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about at first about body condition score. In the winter, a lot of us will throw blankets on our older mm-hmm. horses simply to help them, you know, manage mm-hmm. when the weather temperatures drop or it's snowing or raining or sleeting. But how important is it to make sure you get that blanket off or get under it, you know, to check these horses?
No, it's vitally important, right? You don't want to, and you want to stay on top of it. You don't want to let it go too long and then pull a blanket off and be surprised, right? Either direction, right? Either direction, right? Either too thin or too heavy, because, you know, we're really cold right now, and it's right in the heart of winter, and it's hard to think about. But here in the, you know, 2.5 months, we'll have some grass coming up, even up here in this colder climate, and they'll get away from you the other direction, right? They'll get heavy quick. So, anyway, so it's important to just as a good management piece to pull that blanket off and brush. Well, like brushing your horses, brush, feel, use your hands, and see how that body condition, how that animal's maintaining weight, because you'll go from thin to overweight pretty fast here as spring comes.
Yeah, and then I have a miniature donkey who is insulin dysregulated, which I think is just a definition of donkeys, but you know, I have
to evolutionary advantage. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm. I think I have a few of those genes. I'm just saying, maybe I'm part donkey, but I know that she loves her blanket. And she doesn't like it when I, even on a nice, a sunny day, you know, I try and get the blanket off. It's going to be over 32 and it's not windy or rainy or snowy, you know, off comes the blanket. And, you know, she's ready for it to come back on in the evenings. But yeah, I have to be careful with her because I swear overnight she can put on weight. And I'm not sure because, you know, they're on a dry lot paddock and whew, it's hard.
It's pretty incredible. Just, you know, I always think about that, especially in this industry too, right? Like to be pretty forgiving of the people around you because we should know how quickly they can get away from you, right? They can put on weight really, really fast. And, you know, those ones, like you said, are insulin dysregulated that you're trying to manage all the time. It doesn't take much for all of a sudden they're back up to a spot you don't want them to be. So,
yeah, for me, it just takes the wind to change direction and blow all the extra hay that the seniors didn't eat over into their paddock, and they will vacuum it up.
I think like this spring, it won't take long. That grass comes on and the energy level of that grass and they'll get away from you fast.
Well, we could sit here and talk about this all day, and I'm sure our readers would love to be part of this conversation, but is there anything else you would like to mention about winter senior care?
I'm always a keep it simple kind of person. I just don't overlook your basics, right? Don't overlook a good minerals, you know, free choice mineral source to those horses. Make sure they have good water. Ideally, you're going to keep it at temperature because we do know that as that water gets colder, they are less likely to drink. So, and I know it's difficult, but try to keep it in a place that you can get some heat in it, whether it's either in a barn or if you have a water tank heater outside. But as that water is warmer, they will drink more. So keep that together, and then look for the best forage source you can, right? So try not to make a lot of big changes to that forage source, but keep a lot of hay in front of them. And wasted hay isn't bad hay, right? I think like wasted hay is an insurance policy for a horse to have a full hindgut and to keep away from those problems that we fight when it comes to empty stomachs and empty gastrointestinal tracts that we know can cause issues. So don't be so shy about having some wasted hay on the ground or some wasted hay in the stall. That's perfectly fine, right? And then build your concentrate accordingly. You know, we talked before about the benefits of a ration mouser with those forages, but if you need to add calories, right? And, you know, I would prefer you add calories through fat just because you have more caloric density in fat. And you can get a quicker change in a safer way by adding fat to your diet. But if you don't have it and you have just a higher sugar starch feed, then just break up your meals, right? Just manage it through good management practices. So.
Okay, so you set me up here. What is your preference of a fat source?
Yeah, preference is, I like one. I was gonna say I like adding fat to the diet. That's kind of my preference. I would prefer that we kind of, when you think about your fatty acid profiles of fats and what's available to a broad range, I think we do know that corn oil is an inflammatory oil, right? So it's, you know, very high omega-6. And we also know that omega-6 will have a very inflammatory piece to it. When you look at how the fatty acid profile breaks up, you have a big benefit with soybean oil, and then it kind of gets better as you keep shifting that direction. So, you know, soybean oil, then you got flaxseed oil, coconut oil, and there's a little different because it's close to a saturated fat. You know, so it kind of has a melting point. But of all the fats, I think they're all good to feed, especially when you're trying to add calories. I would caution some against feeding a lot of corn oil because it is pretty inflammatory. And we also know that there's some benefits behind marine sources, right? So whether that be, but marine sources are difficult. They have their own aroma that everything smells like when you feed a fish oil. So I'm not, but if I'm feeding calories, I'm going to usually use soybean oil and then go from there.
Okay. Well, thank you for that tip. And thank you so much for everything that you have discussed today, Brian.
Oh, no, it's enjoyable. And yeah, right now, you and I, Kim, are battling different winter weathers in different places in the country, but we're kind of got the same story. So that's right.
I am going to say there are waters, heated waters, that will stay at minus 50 wind chill because I've had to deal with that a lot in Wyoming. So yeah, you can get rid of the ice in the water. Don't think you're going to lose that battle because there's ways to do it.
There's ways to do it. Right? There's ways to pull some heat from the ground and do it. That's right. Yeah.
Yep. And we encourage our listeners to sign up today for our weekly My Senior Horse newsletter to be the first to get information from us. And if you have any comments or suggestions about senior horses, ponies, donkeys, or mules that you would like to have discussed on this podcast or delved into for content for My Senior Horse, send an email to me at kbrown, that's the letter K, Brown, at equinenetwork.com. Thanks for joining us today. Take care of yourselves and your senior equids.